that is shutting those doors back there, thank you. Because the glare off of that car windshield is killing me. While they're doing that, let me remind you again the offering buckets. I feel like Billy Graham passing the KFC buckets. Will be at the door, or again, 704-802-1881. You can text it in, and again, encourage you to do that. It works great and saves us having to count it or deposit it. It just takes care of it. So appreciate that. Also, as we go out this morning, I'm going to designate a bucket, a basket, a box, something. If one of you fellas back there in the back want to be hunting something. Last week, you may have seen it. It was actually on television. Several of the churches in Kannapolis worked together and pooled some resources and bought $10 gift cards for lunch or dinner or breakfast or whatever else for the Kannapolis Police Department. And went up and gave them to them and thanked them and prayed with them. And we are now moving to Concord and working on, we're going to try to cover the police department and the sheriff's department all at one time. And so we'll be in something. I guess we could designate one of those buckets back there. How about, that makes sense, we used a blue bucket for the police. How's that? And if you want to give towards that cause, put it in the blue bucket. Remember that. Don't get them mixed up. But again, every penny of it will go to buy gift cards, and we'll go up and present them to the police department and let them know that we do appreciate the work that they're doing, that we do thank them. We don't want to defund them. I like being able to call the police department and have them come when I call. I have grown accustomed to that in my lifetime. And so we want to let them know that everybody is not opposed to them, and just in some small way. So again, we'll have the blue bucket back there for that purpose this morning. And it's kind of spreading. Some churches are already looking at taking care of the Rowan County Police Departments, Landis, China Grove, Spencer, Salisbury, the Sheriff's Department. And so it's kind of spreading out. And so continue to pray for those folks who are out there each week on the front lines, and doing a very underappreciated job. But help me to remember that when we get done, that the blue bucket is for the police department. Right now, so we've probably got about half a dozen churches so far that have signed on since yesterday afternoon. This was kind of a last-minute thought to get it organized. If you remember that, if you can't do it this week, we'll do it again next week. We would hate for all those folks who are on vacation this week to miss the opportunity of supporting. Next week. All right, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Jesus is going to address something that was a particular issue for his disciples. But sometimes I read this and I wonder, was he actually speaking to his disciples and thinking about us today, and some of the questions that would arise in our world today, some of the world's religions today. As you are probably aware, I don't think there are any that deny the reality of Christ. But there are some and many who, while they say Christ was genuinely that there was someone named Jesus, they deny him being God. He was a good teacher. He was a prophet. He was a good man. Those kinds of thoughts, but they disagree and deny the idea that he was actually God in the flesh. And so Jesus is going to address that here in this passage. And again, the disciples were somewhat confused over the issue, as. Rightfully so, I guess, a little bit. It's kind of a new idea for them that God would come and walk among them. That was totally foreign to anything in the Jewish way of thought. And so they are confused, and so Jesus is going to address that here, and again, by extension, really, I think, speaks to the world today. There are, again, even I think some in the church today, even who might call themselves Christian, who might even question the place, the deity of Jesus Christ. Those of you who have been watching on Wednesday night, again, encourage you to offer that to you. Encourage you to do that on Wednesday night. We've been on YouTube and our Facebook page as well. Been walking through the Baptist faith and message, exactly what it means, what the theology, what the doctrine of Southern Baptist actually is. And I'm grateful, I believe, last Wednesday night, for those of you who wonder about this strange thing in front of us here, and I was about ready to throw it through a wall a moment ago, but on Wednesday night, last Wednesday night, we had over 700 people watching with us on Wednesday night, and if you know anything about Wednesday night prayer meetings in most churches, to have 700 folks watching some redneck talk about the Baptist faith and message, that's pretty impressive. I thank you for tuning in. And then every morning at 7, anytime during the day, it just comes on at 7. You can Facebook or YouTube again on our page. Both places, been going through the book of Psalms and amazed at the number of people who are up at 7 in the morning who are conscious. Well, I don't know that you're conscious enough, but at least you click on it, whether or not you're awake enough to know what it says or not, but every morning several hundred are watching there as well, so that's available to you. And then again, we're live now, so be careful if you stand up and yell anything. The world will hear you, and so it's amazing what God has done during this corona, not just here, but in churches everywhere. A friend of mine just told me, church in Kannapolis last week, they got an email from Denmark, someone watching them on Facebook, and had accepted Christ in Denmark. That's just unbelievable that we have that opportunity. Another friend of mine said they had somebody in Connecticut. And so just amazing what God has done and the doors he is opening during this time. And so just a little advertisement there real quick. And to thank you again. You don't realize maybe sometimes what's going on, because it's kind of a little bit behind the scenes here. But thank you for being part of that. Having, again, just a lot of folks. I had a lady just this week who I've known since my childhood who is blind now, who is confined to her home, who called, and I couldn't for the life of me. She kept, I remembered her voice. I knew her, and she says, "You know, when you were little, I used to threaten you with old number 9, number 9 was her big old foot. She kept on. I knew I remembered that, but I couldn't, and she was able to, being able to listen online. I say something over here for Debbie real quick. She said, I don't know who was worse, you or Gary Miller. And so she knew. So I don't know what that says about him or me, but anyway, she, well, I said, it's amazing the impact that we're having and during this corona. All right, back to the text. John 14, again, Christ is going to deal here with his deity and answer some questions or a question that comes up in these events. If you remember, he's told them that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and he's going away. And we have here, picking up there in verse 7, 8, Philip speaks up, Philip gets right down to the nitty-gritty of it. Jesus says, I'm going away. Thomas had said, where are you going? We don't know where you're going. Philip steps up here, and I kind of paraphrase this a little bit. It's not the King James Version, but Philip kind of steps up and says, I don't care where you're going, just show me God. That's kind of the way, again, Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know how to get there. And Philip says, I don't care where he's going. Show me God. We have not seen the Father. We want to see the Father. And so the first thing that we have here in this text, as good as that statement is, and I can see several of you as I say that Thomas said, I don't know where you're going, and Philip says, I don't care where, I just want to see God. Some of you nod and say, that's good. But here's the problem I see with that statement as we look in this first verse here, and we see that this desire of Philip, we see his desire presented. He says, I want to see God. I want to see God. The problem I see with that is that Philip, as good as that sounds, that Philip says, I want to see God. Think about this for a minute. For 3 years, he had seen God. For 3 years, he had walked with God. He had talked with God. He had ate with God. He had been traveling with God. He had been persecuted along with God. He had been right there with God all along and had somehow, in spite of all the teaching of Jesus, in spite of everything that Christ had said and done, Philip still somehow says, well, I want to see God. I want to see the Father. And what that reminds me of is where many of us, even again, as I said, I read this text, and obviously Christ is addressing his disciples and speaking to those followers at that moment in time. But wow, what a passage that transcends time, because we still live in a day where many people, just like Philip, are saying, we want to see God. In other words, they want something tangible. They want something they can lay their hands on. They want to be able to touch it. They want to be able to see it. They want to be able to feel it. You look around, and I think that's the reason that many religions today, many various religions, have idols and statues and those kind of things, because they want to be able to see, to touch their God. They want to be able to put him in a box where they can manage him, where they can get a handle on their God. And so Philip here, he has a, on one hand, an admirable desire, but on the other hand, when you stop and think for a minute, that in all this time that he has walked with Christ, that he has listened to Christ, he hasn't picked up on the fact yet that he was looking at God in the flesh. He wanted something tangible. There are, you know, we live in a world today where many people, even in this world, will say, oh, well, there is no God. They can walk around and they can, they may not see God in the flesh, but they see God in the rose bush. They see God in the sunshine. They see God in the sunset. They see God in the newborn baby. They see God in the clouds. They see God in the thunder and the lightning. They see God, they hear God in the wind blow. They hear God in the birds sing. God is all around us, and yet we have many people who say, I don't see Him. I need a God I can get a handle on. I think that's the reason we have. Go home today and Google religion. You don't have to go home today. Everybody's got smartphones. Google religion and see how many responses you get. There are all kinds of religions, and most of them have concocted some form of tangible God. They have some idol. They have some statue, they have something that represents God. Even if you go back into the book of Acts and you look and read the story of Paul, you remember Paul as he confronts those men and they talk, and they had an idol, and he says, what's this? They had an idol over here and an idol over here, and then they had an idol. You remember what the idol was to? It was an idol to the unknown God. They built an idol just in case we missed one. Yeah, we just want a God we can touch, that we can bring and Philip's the same way here. After walking for 3 years with Christ, he still doesn't get it, and so he's got this desire here that he can see some kind of tangible result. Well, how does Jesus respond to the desire of Philip? Look in verse 9. As we go on, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus says, I can almost see the look on Jesus' face. Now, I don't know about you, but I think most of us have kind of in our mind an image of what God looks like. You know, it's actually kind of funny to go around and look at different cultures of how they render Jesus. It's kind of comical. All of us, have kind of a different image of Christ, and it's always usually kind of in our culture. But I have this picture in my mind of Philip saying, well, I want to see God. And Jesus going, yeah, it's kind of, what? Yeah, or maybe better, when he says, I want to see God, I can almost see Jesus going, maybe even a little tear welling up in his eye. Philip, seriously? Well, I don't know exactly what his emotion. It's hard to read, figure out an emotion from, when you read something, sometimes you can, you may not know the emotion that was there. And it's kind of hard to figure the exact emotion. Was he sad? Was he in disbelief? Was he a little bit angry? I don't know. Maybe a little of all. Seriously, Philip? Have I been with you this long and you're telling me you want to see God? You, Philip, really? Really? I've been with you now. I've walked on. Think about when Philip says, I want to see God. I want to see the Father. Jesus, I can only imagine if Jesus would have had time right here, he could have said, Philip, do you remember me walking on the water? Well, yeah. How could I forget that? Do you remember me calming the storm? Well, yeah. How in the world could I forget that? Do you remember me feeding the 5,000? Yeah, I was there. That was good fish. Yeah. Do you remember me healing the crippled man? Yeah. I've known him all his life. That was cool. Do you remember me giving the blind guy back his sight? Oh, yeah, that was amazing. Do you remember me giving the deaf back their hearing? Yeah, that was the most amazing. Wow. Yeah. Do you remember me raising Lazarus from the dead? Philip, like a week ago? I was scared he was going to smell. And you want to see God. okay, let's go back to the beginning and start all over. You wonder sometimes if that's what Jesus thought. So some of the things his disciples said, it's like Jesus says, what have I been doing for the last 3 years? Where have y'all been? Maybe I should have dealt with your deafness and your blindness because you obviously missed it. Philip, did you not see all that you have witnessed? Did it not register in your mind that an ordinary person does not walk on water? Now, I know some of y'all think you do. Yeah. But an ordinary person does not walk out in the middle of a raging storm and say, peace be still, and the waves lay down, and the wind quit blowing. An ordinary person, Philip, does not reach into a basket with a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread and begin to feed thousands. Philip, did it not register in your mind? Think back to all the ways and the days that you have seen God. That would be a pretty good challenge for you and I today. As we look back and we think back over our life and we think back over our years and we think back over the many times God has intervened, to think back and say, wow, there was God. Have you ever done that sometimes? You get to the end, things get over and you stop and you look back and you go, wow. I didn't see that. Man, there was God. There was God. Now that I'm through it, I realize I would have never made it had it not been for the hand of God. Now that I'm through it, I realize there was God. It's easy sometimes to overlook Him. We look at Philip here, and you got to kind of scratch your head and say, Philip, how did you miss God? And yet, you and I go through life every day, and we miss God. We get up and we go about our life and we get done at the end of the day. We get home, we lay back down, and we never think. We never take a single solitary moment to look back over the day and say, there was God. When I was driving down, we take something as simple as driving down the road so for granted. Hurtling down the street in 3,000 pounds of plastic and tinfoil, surrounded by other knotheads in 3,000 pounds of tinfoil and plastic. We take that for granted. Can I tell you some? I hate to play this card, but I'm going to go there. There are what, four, five people over here on 485 the other night? That were riding along as a family, not thinking a thing, when some clown flies down the road at 100 miles an hour and runs a truck off the road and kills them. Have you ever thought, did you think that when you got here this morning, there was God? There was God. I saw an interesting little meme on Facebook this week. Some of you probably saw it as well, said this coronavirus is a lot like a glitter project. If you got 10 people in a room doing crafts and one of them's working with glitter, how many of them have glitter? All 10 of them and probably some of their family. My stepbrother got married years ago. And my grandmother rode with me, and every now and then she sat in the back seat and she had on this red glittery looking dress thing that I laughed at like I shouldn't have probably. But every now and then I'll look in the back seat of my car and the sun will hit just right and I still see red glitter all this time later. Have you thought about it? How many times you've been in the grocery store? How many times, let me ask you a question. How many times do you think you have been around or exposed to somebody with this virus? And yet here you sit. Do we see God? Philip missed Him. Philip missed Him. Walked with Him day in and day out and says, I don't see Him. He was the very nature of God. He did the very acts of God. He had the character of God, the substance of God. He was perfect like God. And yet, Philip still didn't see Him. Still didn't see Him. You have the desire presented. You have the display provided. Look at this declaration. In verse 10, here's what Jesus says. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Here it is. There's the crux of it in one verse. Whether you're in this room, whether you're watching online, there it is. Jesus makes one declaration. He says, here it is. Make no mistake about it. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He says, I am God in the flesh. When I speak, it is the words of the Father. When I speak, you have heard. It is the same as if you had heard from the throne itself. I am God. I am not just some good teacher. I am not just a prophet. Jesus makes clear here His position and His claim. He makes it bluntly obvious and apparent who He is claiming to be. You know, for many times, we've come through the Gospel of John now, and there were many occasions where Jesus kind of laid a little low. There were many times, for example, His very first miracle at the changing of the water into wine. What did He say? It's not my time. You know, He kind of laid low. He took care of business and He went on. Many of His miracles, if you go back and you think over these opening chapters of John where we've been through, many of them He performed the miracles and just went on about His business. He never really took much claim. He never took much credit. He just did the miracle. And to use our phrase, His actions spoke louder than words. But He finally comes to this point in chapter 14, just hours before His crucifixion, just hours before His death. And He says, all right, guys, here it is. Obviously, in the previous verse, He says, I've been with you all this time and you've missed it. So here it is. I and the Father are one. I am God in the flesh. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, that was God on this earth. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, that was not just somebody dying on a cross. That was God dying Himself for your sin. That's the magnitude. I don't have the skill, I don't have the vocabulary to express all the wonders and all the importance of this simple statement that God, when Christ stood there, He stood there as God in the flesh and His words were the Father's words. Listen, you say, I don't understand that. Hey, join the crowd. I don't either. Anybody that tells you they can explain the Trinity, run. Yeah. Yeah. It's all I can do to talk about it. I know, you know, some of you who've been watching again on Wednesday night know that that was my assignment last week, or the week before, was talking about the Trinity. What Baptists believe about the Trinity? Listen, He says, Philip, I am God. Yeah. Obviously, calming the seas, raising the dead didn't get it through to you. So here it is. I am God. And then after the declaration, I'm going to call it a dare. I'm going to call it a dare. Look what Jesus says to him. Jesus says in this next verse, in verse 11, He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or believe me for the very work's sake. Jesus says, all right, Philip, you wanted to see the Father. I have told you I and the Father are one. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? I dare you. If you can't believe me because I said it, Philip, look at my works. Look at what I've done. Look at the change I've made. If you're here this morning or you're watching online and you're wondering about the words, and maybe you have questions about the authority of the Bible. Maybe you have questions about the accuracy of the Bible. Maybe you've been told in your lifetime the Bible has contradictions. That's a sermon, a message for a different day. But all of us have kind of heard some of those things over the years. The Bible has contradictions. The Bible has errors. All those things. Jesus says, okay, if you don't want to believe the Word, believe the works. Believe the works. You say, well, I don't know about walking on water. I don't know some of the, I wasn't there. I didn't see what Philip had seen. Let me tell you something. If you are sitting in this room and you are looking in this direction, if you are somewhere out in the world on the internet and you are looking at me through that camera, let me tell you something that you see. You may not believe the Word of God. But let me tell you something. If you're looking in this direction, you better believe in the works of God. You better. One thing I could do, but I would not do, and you don't have enough money to get me to do, is to allow my wife about 30 minutes to walk up here and tell you about the old me. Ain't happening. Ain't happening. Maybe I should, honestly. Because if you don't believe in the Word of God, let me tell you something. You better believe in the works of God. CD's nodding his head. Tell him, CD, what it was like before Jesus came along. They didn't want to know you, did they? Larry back there. I know some of Larry's childhood friends. There's a few of them still living. I know some of Larry's childhood friends. I want to tell you something. A lot of y'all been good your whole life. I think about one of the greatest compliments I ever heard anybody pay. Some of you may remember, I know Debbie and Melissa do. Remember Jim Medlin, Lisa's daddy, Lisa Talent's daddy. When Lisa Talent's daddy died, I remember somebody made this comment. He was always a good man, and then he met Jesus, and he became an even better man. Let me tell you something. Some of y'all always been good, and when you met Jesus, you just got saved and good. Scoop, can I turn the camera around and point it at you and tell them, let me tell you something. You may not believe the Word, but let me tell you about the works of Jesus. Some of you, you may not, little Goody Two Shoes over here, little Archie, he had never broke a rule. Yeah. Stand up, Archie. Stand up, Archie. Show them what's in your front pocket. Show them what's in your front pocket. Yeah. Hold that up in his hand. Now reach in your back pocket and show them what's in your back pocket just in case. His other mask. Archie follows the rules. You ain't got a third one, do you? But I want to tell you something. Jesus says if you will believe the Word, believe the work. Believe the work. How many of you in here know you're a work of God? I'm a work of God. I want to tell you something. I know where I've been. I know who I've been. And walking on water is nothing compared to what He's done to me. Giving the blind back their sight, the deaf back their hearing is nothing whether you're watching online or whether you're here this morning, I don't know what you believe about the Bible. You can question it. You can doubt it. But I want to tell you something. Go out and ask. Listen, don't misunderstand one thing. I'm not telling you I'm all that in a box of Cracker Jacks today. I'm telling you, you know me back in the day, I didn't even have the box, let alone the Cracker Jacks. You may not believe a word in that book. I want to tell you something. I know about the works of God. And they are real. I know what Jesus can do in a person's life. I know what the change God can make in a person's life, what He can do for them. I don't need to see Him walk on water. I don't need to see Him raise the dead. Because years ago, I took the dare, and I believed in Him. And I took Him into my heart and my life, and He did something far. You're talking about calming storms. He did a work. Still doing a work. Still doing a work. You see the dare. But then I want you to see the dividends. You know, everybody wants to know what's in it for me. I think that has become the American motto. What's in it for me? Two things, I think, what in the American motto. What's in it for me? And that ain't fair. When I hear somebody say that ain't fair, I tell them the fair will be here in September. Hold on. But let's deal with the dividends first. What's in it for me? Look what Jesus says. Jesus says, Philip, if you'll believe in me. Look at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than they shall he do, because I go unto my Father. The dividends of that belief. He says, if you will believe that I am the Son of God, that I am God in the flesh, that you believe that when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Have you ever read that verse before? He says, you will do greater works than I do. You will do greater things. Not just works, not just the same works, but greater works. Now, what's he mean by that? I think we've got to be careful there. But one of the things in particular, I think he's talking about the kind of works. The love, the compassion that he showed, the work that he did by doing all those works that we will demonstrate. Think about what he just, let's put this into context. He just said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Right? And so then he tells us we will do greater works. So, at the things we do, we should be showing the Father. When people see us at work, when they see us out in the life, they should see the Father. We should be in even greater examples of the Father than Jesus was. Some of you go, ooh, that scares me. I'll take it up. Again, go back to the words. Yeah, I'm just reading you what it says. It says, Jesus Himself said, we will do greater works. When we read those things in the Word of God, He says, you will do those things, you will do greater works. I don't have time to completely expound on that, but let me show you the second dividend that He says. And He says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. The dividends of believing in who He says He is. He says, you will do greater works, and if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, some of you are about to jump up and run outside and pray to win the lottery. Because Jesus said, you can ask anything, and I'll do it. Yeah, there's about to be some fire and brimstone falling on somebody's head because you're fixing to call it down on them. Because Jesus said, if you ask anything, I'll do it. But do you notice what he said? If you ask anything in my name. Now, let's take that a minute. Let's drill on that for just a moment. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? Well, let me tell you what it means to most people. To most people, many even in the church, it means you pray the craziest, most far-fetched, wild, incoherent prayer ever mumbled. And at the end, you go, in the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. That's not it. Wrong. What it means to pray in the name of Jesus is the same as an analogy would be if I were to come to you and tell you that the police chief or the governor or the president said blah 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 blah, then what that is, you know, for example I can tell you, I made Archie, in the name of the governor, King Cooper, you must wear a mask in public when you're less than 6 feet apart. That's in the name of the governor, because he said it, right? That's something he would say, he did say. When you pray in the name of, you know, I can't tell you, you know, put a pair of flip-flops on and a bracelet in the name of the governor. The governor didn't say that yet. No telling. But I can tell you to wear a mask in the name of the governor, because the governor said that, right? That's something the governor would say. So to pray in the name of Jesus doesn't mean to say whatever you dream up and get to the end and go, and in Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'm pretty sure some of us have prayed things, got to the end, and went, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. And Jesus went, huh? What? I never said that. To pray in the name of Jesus means to pray what Jesus would pray if he was in your shoes. That's what it means. And Jesus says, if you pray like I pray, if you pray what I would pray, then you can ask anything in my name. Now, here's the problem. A lot of folks focus on the dividends. I like that praying for anything. I like that. I like that doing greater works. But they forget where it started. He says, if you believe on me. If you believe in me. This morning, whether you're in this room, whether you're watching online, whether you're watching recorded sometime later, I started to say the million-dollar question. This is not a million-dollar question. I can't place value on this question. This is an eternal question. This is a life or death question. I'm not asking you, do you believe the Bible? I'm not asking you, do you trust preachers? I know some. I don't blame you. I'm not asking you, what do you think of Christians? I know some. I don't blame you. I'm not asking you what you think of Christian music. What I'm asking you this morning is one question. In this room, or wherever in this world you might be, is do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the risen Son of God, death, burial, and resurrection? And have you asked Him into your heart? Have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? If not, and today is the day. I think like Philip. Jesus would look at some of us and go, really? All the things I've done for you, all the things you've seen, all the sermons you've heard, all the miracles you've seen, really? You don't believe? Really? Christians, you say, oh yeah, I know him. I believe in him completely. Absolutely. Then if we do, again, here or wherever in the world you may be listening or watching, if we believe in Jesus Christ, then why aren't we doing those greater works? Because he says, if you do, you will. He says, if you do believe, you can ask anything in my name. Now, this is not something I know real personally about. I learned about it from my father. Some of you got stock in companies. You know, some of you like me, you don't even know what all that means. But I learned this from checking my daddy's mail. He used to get what they called dividend checks. I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand if you got stock and get dividend checks. Us poor people, Arch, explain it to us, will you? Us poor people don't understand all that. But best I can tell is when you own stock, occasionally if the company does real good, they send you, you know, your stock goes up, but they'll send you a little extra, a little part of the profit. They call that a dividend. And I know this, that when those companies didn't send their dividend checks to my daddy, he got mad. He didn't get his dividends, he got angry. Why? He had bought the stock, he owned it, he felt like he deserved the dividend, and he wanted it. Jesus says, if you believe in me, you'll do greater works, and if you ask, you'll receive it. If you believe in him and you're not getting your dividends, if you didn't get your dividend off your stock purchase, you'd be unhappy. If you believe in him and you're not getting your spiritual dividends, shouldn't that cause us to ponder and think for a moment? I want my spiritual dividends. I want to do the works. I want to pray with power and authority. And so I have to come back and say, and challenge my own belief, how much confidence and faith am I putting in Jesus? I want to ask you to stand with me this morning. I want to ask you to bow your head. I want you to honestly answer a question this morning. I want you to honestly answer this question. Am I receiving my spiritual dividends? Am I doing the greater works? Am I praying with power? More importantly this morning, I want to ask you this question. Do you believe? Do you believe? While no one's looking around, no one's looking at you, no one's going to confront you. If you're in this room, you'd say, Jimmy, I need to know Christ as my Savior. I need to ask Him into my heart. Would you pray for me? I promise you, I won't call your name. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. I just want to pray with you. If you'd say this morning, I need to ask Christ. I need to believe. I need to be a servant. I need to know more. Would you just simply just stick your hand up real quick, and I promise you not to embarrass you. If you're online, shoot us an email, comment in the section, something, let us know. Believers all over this room, all over the internet, if we're honest this morning, we'd say, Lord, help my unbelief. God, I want to do the great works. I want to pray with authority. Help me. Father, all over this room, all across the internet this morning, there are believers who are watching, who are listening. God, they're followers of You. They've given their heart to You. Lord, this world, Satan has hindered them and chipped away the very foundations of their faith. God, I pray this morning today would be a turning point in our walk with You. That today would be a changing. God, that beginning today, we'd walk with authority and confidence in our faith in You. God, that we would walk with power, that those around us would see You at work in our life, would see the change, would see the transition, would see the spiritual dividends that are being played in our life. God, I pray, Lord, that You'll touch hearts in this room, online. God, that You'd do a great harvest, that our hearts would be changed. And we'll give You the praise for it all, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Appreciate Your attention.